Hello, everybody, and thank you very much for joining in to the madhouse that is the Modders, Inc. podcast, the questionable number 35, as we all try and do our math and figure out where we are in this wonderful life. Modders, Inc. podcast number 35 for the month of August. We're past QuakeCon. Y'all heard the fallout that was QuakeCon from our last podcast, and we've got some great things to bring to you this month. Some really exciting things to talk about, some great people to talk about. We've got some just really cool introductions to make. So without further ado, the ModdersInc.com podcast is getting started now. Let's go ahead and introduce some people here to you. We got Joe sitting down in South Texas.
I'm Joe.
We got Mark sitting over in Florida waiting for a hurricane.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, we got Michael from... those of you that don't know Michael, Michael has been an avid player in the QuakeCon mod contest for many, many years, and we are just happier than bug shit to have him here.
Hello.
There's Michael. We got Dwayne out in Arizona.
Hi.
We got up in the Great White North with his mic muted. That would be Ron. Tom up in the Pacific Northwest.
What's up, guys?
And we've got Wen. What's he doing?
From Michigan.
And you've got me, Craig. So we're here. Let's get this ball rolling. All right, so there's been a lot of questions in regards to how judges judge modding competitions, and we can't vouch for all of them, obviously. One of the things that we decided we would try and spend some time on in this podcast was to talk about and feature some mods that we see on the Modders, Inc. forums and look at them as if they're in a contest. Some of the other things we're going to be talking about tonight, we're going to find out a bit more about Mark and Michael, two newest members of our team here at ModdersInc.com. Very excited to have them on board. You know, we'll just see where this wild train takes us. So without further ado, I'm going to hand it over to Dwayne.
Oh, yeah. Surprise. I wasn't ready for that one.
Yeah. Hey, like that handoff.
What am I going to do?
No, I'm sorry. This is being brought to you by Gas Monkey Garage.
Yes. Yes, and as I stated to Craig earlier, thank you. Yeah. Where's my...
Oh, yeah, I like these. Okay.
And in case anybody hasn't tried it, it is some good shit.
Mm-hmm. It is cinnamon-flavored tequila. It's like Fireball, except for tequila. Very smooth.
Yes.
Very smooth.
We got to get Shannon on that, then.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine that? Because, I mean, he was just...
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not catching him.
Nobody can catch him.
There's very few that can keep up with him.
Yeah, no, I'm not even... I'll just let him fall into the pool, let the pool take the fall.
Yeah, I'm just running as fast as I can.
Well, Mark, tell us a little bit about yourself, buddy, as I ask you the question, as you take a swig and drink. That was for you.
That was good timing. Hey, that's two for two.
Yeah.
What do you want to know?
How long have you been modding?
Well, computers, roughly about 10 years. But, you know, I think modding comes from, we all had a background in doing something. You know, we didn't just come into computers and I feel like, you know, this case needs to be cut into pieces. You know, I think at some point in life we were all doing something with whatever we were doing before computers. You know, with me it goes back to, you know, BMX and polishing BMX bikes and painting bikes. And, you know, then I was into cars and doing the same thing and ripping apart motors. And, you know, so it was just kind of, you know, I just think that modders have that, you know, we got to change something. It's got to be different, you know. And a lot of it came from overclocking, too. So, of course, increasing performance, cutting holes, putting more fans. And, you know, I kind of started because the first computer case I owned was a Diablo Tech. Well, I shouldn't say the first one I owned. The first one that I started modding in about 2004 was a Diablo Tech, you know, like $40 case from Tiger Direct. Mm-hmm. Came with the power supply that, fortunately, I didn't ever use. But, you know, it had no airflow. It had, I think, a mount for like 180 millimeter fan on the back. And,
it'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I was playing around with the Core 2 Duo and I think the EVGA 680i motherboard and, you know, overclocking and, you know, doing some stuff like that. And I was like, man, I need to drill a hole here and I got to put a fan here. And then, man, the case was silver and, you know, the metal didn't match the plastic. And I was like, well, that just doesn't look good. So, you know, one thing leads to another and you start a work log on a forum and, you know, and all of a sudden the community's coming behind you and everybody's, you know, rearing to go and, oh, that looks awesome. And, oh, and then it gets you going even more. So, mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a lot of it. It, you know, was improving the cases, improving stuff, building stuff, breaking stuff, doing it again.
Cool. No pun intended. No pun intended. Yeah. No, but yeah, that's a good background. So you've got a good background in cars, and we got to see some of your handiwork at QuakeCon this year.
Yes, sir.
Very, very impressive work. Good job. You guys, this is the first place finisher in the first 24 hours of Le Mans. No, yes, I'm pointing at you. Sorry.
No, I know my trophy's around here. So oh, no, that's the one. <I'm here. laughs> I was seeing if it was like right here.
Right, the 24 hours of Le Mans, and he was the first place case mod winner in the case mod competition at QuakeCon. So we're very happy to have you on board. And thank you very much for bringing your talents to bear and making Modders Inc. that much more interesting and that much more informative for everybody around.
Glad to be here. That's what it's all about. You know, it's all about sharing the knowledge, sharing what we do, inspiring other people to do it. People that are just starting out, giving them tips and tricks. And, you know, I try to do that all the time. So it's good to be here. Good to be around a bunch of other guys that are, you know, we're all doing the same thing. We're here for the same reason.
We're all maniacal.
Exactly.
We're all crazy.
Yeah, it's all kind of crazy. Okay, and let's spend a little bit of time talking to Michael over here. Michael is also a very avid computer modder. He's always competed in the scratch build. Did you ever compete in the Bethesda, or was it always scratch build?
First year was Bethesda because we show up and you're like, surprise, there's a Bethesda category, and we're the only person there with a Bethesda team mod. So like, by golly, we'll take that prize.
Getting on stage. Yeah, buddy. Yeah. So tell us a bit about yourself, Michael. Where are you from? What's your background? What are your influences? Things like that.
Well, I'm living in Plano, dangerously close to Craig.
Hot dang.
Yeah. And, I first got involved in, I guess, high school when my friend who had been going to QuakeCon, I'd never been, he invited me, and we whipped up a terminal from Fallout, and things have just been kind of snowballing from there. QuakeCon is really all to thank. The original computers we used, we won in a raffle from QuakeCon, so, you know.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, there's been a disconcerting amount of luck in my successes, but... Yeah, and I've just I've put a lot of things together. I always try and do something that's a little different than what most people do, which is just sort of fabricating things. No focus on the hardware. I'll focus on the case, and so I've learned a lot of unconventional skills, especially when it comes to kind of bootstrapping things, which you can get away with. Mm-hmm. So what I hope to bring to Modders Inc. is showing people that. Because whenever you Google, if you Google case mod right now, you're going to see 8,000 results of 5 grand machines, you know, and people are going to look at that and they're like, well, I can't do this. Well, what I hope to show people is that you can get away with $12 here and $10 there and make things really pop. You know what I mean? I'm not going to show it. So, and, you know, I also, at the same time, when I'm teaching people, I also hope to learn, you know, new techniques and whatnot. And that's why a big thing that I get to benefit is Modders Inc. is going to foot the bill for, you know, nothing big, you know, just the paint and the supplies. But at the same time, I get to learn, you know, and teach at the same time. So that'll
right, be- yeah, that's a really cool outlook to have, because that's one of the things that has surprised me, honestly, is as long as you keep your mind open. You can learn something from somebody that you thought you weren't going to learn anything from. Mm-hmm. They'll teach you a different way of doing something. It's just because it's a different perspective and a different way of going about it. And it's like, as long as you're open to it and you're humble to learning new things, it's amazing how much you can learn off of somebody that you're actually teaching, mm-hmm. which is really cool.
Yeah, especially just developing the techniques, because I've been doing things for a while where I'll like screw them up every once in a while and be like, what the hell's wrong with me? Why, you know, you think you would have learned it by now? And that's another great thing about just when you teach someone, you gotta fortify exactly what you're doing, and you think about it when you hit a step, you type it up, and you're like, wait, this or is it that? You know, it helps you refine your own knowledge. So, just I think it's gonna be a great opportunity for me, and I hope to, you know, contribute. So,
well, thank you very much, Michael, for coming here. We're glad and we're happy and excited to have you on board. It's going to be a really good time adding these two members in and getting their knowledge and getting getting their excitement and their enthusiasm.
Hey, nobody said anything about knowledge.
Oh, yeah, you're right. We're all a bunch of lucky bastards. it just happens to fall into place sometimes.
Yeah.
But guys, staff members: Dwayne, Joe, Ron, Tom. Gwen, you guys got any questions or stuff that you want to chime in on this?
No, I'm good.
Random background checks on them already.
Yeah.
The background checks?
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
Well, that's why I gave you a false name.
We get your credit scores and stuff, so.
I like Michael because he understands the difficulty of 3D printing.
Wait, who just said that? Because I want to high-five you over the internet.
That would be Joe.
Joe. Yeah. Plam, yeah.
Yeah. There we go. Ouch. That hit me. Came through Plano to hit Joe.
that's something I actually hope to learn from the rest of you guys is what to talk about, because I could blather about 3D printing for about 8 hours, you know, on a podcast or whatever, but if you guys think modders are interested in 3D printing, please let me know, because I run a...
Yes.
Okay. I run a 3D printing shop where I sell things on the side, and I've learned just the plethora of ways a printer can break. I love my printer, but at the same time, and you know,
I have a Solid Doodle too, and the cool thing is you can 3D print replacement parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have a website? You can give me a plug.
I actually don't want to give a plug because I'm going to sound like a dick, but I have too much business. Like my printer's running.
Pardon us for infringing upon your time.
Yeah. Whoa.
Well, no, the machine does
more. Crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe in the future, maybe one day.
I don't want to sound like a dick, but
get ready for that phrase.
His first, famous last words.
Yeah, what is it, that line from Analyze This? You don't hear no very often, do you? Oh, I hear it all the time, but it's usually like, no, please, no, stop, no.
Well, I guess I'll throw it out there because there's not much overlap. It's a craftable shop. I think if you Google search Team Fortress 2, TF2 cosplay, that's like the first result. It's mostly props for cosplayers, so I don't think there's much overlap between the two groups anyways.
Cool. Awesome.
And,
well, I'm thinking about
all those DOS attacks.
Yeah. Please harass me. Please post pictures of genitalia to my Facebook page.
Yes.
Oh, no.
You heard it.
Yeah.
Abby, you met some of the people that follow us, right?
Oh, sorry, Michael.
Does he accept that as currency as well?
Oh, yeah.
Gotta be printed out. It doesn't seem to need money anymore.
I want you to 3D print this.
Oh, there's a website for that. I've plumbed the darker depths of the internet, I know.
Oh, my.
Yep.
Oh.
So UPS has a 3D printing service, and it's perfectly legal for you to print dildos, but if you dare print any part of a gun, well, that they get pissed at.
Yeah, pro tip, never mess with UPS. They will charge you approximately $8,000 a cubic centimeter. Might be a little off, but that's how I felt when I was talking to them.
Wow.
I was thinking of using them for overflow printing, and it was like a dollar a cubic centimeter, something completely ludicrous. So, yeah.
I had no idea they even did that.
Yeah.
They do. They have some, my local one has like replicator twos, not worth your time.
I was actually at an HP event, and they were HP is getting ready to shake up the 3D printing world. They're actually bringing out a massive, I mean, we're talking like a half room sized 3D printer. It's an industrial type of 3D printer for the people that are wanting to do like 3D printing as a service. Mm-hmm. And they showed the different materials that they can actually print with, and it's not like, you know, PLA or any of the other like thread types. It's more like a toner that like cooks and bakes in a 3D space. And they printed a chain link. Okay, they 3D printed a chain link that was probably about 8 to 10 inches end to end, and was probably about it was probably about 3/4 to an inch thick. Easy, Dwayne. Just shut up.
Well, you're just describing what they were talking about earlier.
But what they did with this chain link is they put it on a crane, and then they tied 4 chains to that link using
two chains.
Hmm?
No, two chains.
No. And then they lifted the car using that 3D printed link as the interface between the crane and the car chains, lifted it up. That was a 3D printed device that was that strong and that durable. I about flipped out. But HP is getting ready to release big stuff like that. Because I was all over them when they started talking about how they're going to jump into it. And I was like, oh, well, I could, you know, use one at my house. And the developers were actually in the back of the room, and they were looking at me going,
yeah.
No,
that would
not gonna
probably
happen.
Cost thousands and thousands of dollars to print anything you would ever want. Like,
right.
Yeah. I'd be interested to, that sounds like a very interesting event. I actually work quasi close to the HP. I don't know if it's a fabricator or headquarters or what, but it'd be cool to see. Like, I wonder what the specs are on that. You know, I think probably most people would be interested, you know, what the resolution is and the stats on all the, you know, the materials.
I did it through work. And I will contact our corporate rep, and I will see what it is that if she can put me back in touch with that dev team, and I'll see if I can get some of the specs to you. I don't know if I can make them publicly available.
Yeah,
but
I will sign an NDA. I do not care. Yeah. Show me the spec sheet.
Sure, absolutely. Okay, so we've got. The discussion about how we judge competitions, and how it is that we possibly critique a mod. Really? That was my dog. I'm not sure if that came through on the mic or not.
Yeah, it came through.
It's National Dog Day. My dog is down here gagging on the floor.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Ringo.
Spitting up a cat. I've got your cats, Craig.
Oh, jeez, I'm missing another one. Why is that one walking with a limp? Oh, man.
All right. Is that how one of them lost her tail?
Yes. That was how the Manx lost its tail. Yes, that was exactly.
That explains a lot.
Right. Right. And on that note, we've got a number of mods that we're thinking about featuring tonight in this podcast. And we're going to go over them kind of like we would do as judges. So it's going to be kind of interesting for Mark and Michael, seeing as they were on the competing side of it this year. And now, as staff members of Modders, Inc., it's going to be, they get to kind of see how it is that we go over these mods and how we critique these mods. Now, as we're going over these mods, want to make sure that everybody understands, we're not being assholes, okay? We're calling a spade a spade. We're gonna, as we see things, we call them out to each other, so that we can all either acknowledge or argue or discuss about the validity of docking points or adding points for whatever it is that we're calling out. We call out positives, we call out negatives. So it sounds like we're being critical, but we have to. You guys got to understand, we have to be this critical. Because when you're trying to set up a modding competition like what we're trying to set up at the level of QuakeCon, and we want everybody to up their game, we have to up our game as judges in order to push people to up their game. Okay?
So, I can say that from being on the other end of the spectrum, is that I'm usually my own worst critic. So if there's something that someone sees, I would rather that they point it out to me so that maybe it's something I didn't see. You know, maybe it's a mistake that I overlooked or, you know, something that I just was completely blind to. Well, I'm never going to be able to correct that or fix it or learn from it if somebody just kind of like, you know, brushes it under the rug. So I'd rather that somebody pointed, you know, it could be the biggest thing. It could be the entire thing. Well, look, you know, you're just not at this level yet, you know, but you're at a great start. So continue doing what you're doing. If you need some help, come to me and ask me for this or do that. Or so, you know, from the other side of the perspective, not from the judging side, you know, people really that are trying to do this and trying to build up should take these criticisms with, you know, respect coming from people that are just trying to assist them and help them to grow and to become better modders.
Thank you, Mark. That's a very good point. We've had a number of people that came to us after QuakeCon. That actually, you know, ran up against, they asked Tom, they asked Dwayne, they asked me, they asked Joe, you know, what was my score? What did you guys see and knock off for? Matter of fact, one of the cases we might be going over tonight was one of the cases that we reviewed and judged at QuakeCon. And one of the things that we've kind of picked up on, and we'll do a better job of communicating it again next year, is your mod should speak for itself, period. You shouldn't have to be there to tell us about the hardware. I mean, quite honestly, the hardware you don't mod unless you're like exclusively centering around overclocking and some of the results you've done in regards to overclocking, but that doesn't really weigh much on a mod per se. The mod should be able to stand on its own as a quality presentation of art meets engineering. And if we can look at something and we start seeing problems with it, then that's where we start docking. So somebody standing there talking about, well, I've got this processor and I've got this much memory and I've got these fans, and I've got this motherboard, and I've got this hard drive, and these five SSDs running in this RAID array, and it's like, okay, those are great technical specs, that's nice, but that doesn't make a mod. You could have hardware from 2 or 3 years ago and a stellar mod, and that's going to rate higher than somebody who's using modern hardware but has holes in their presentation. So when we're looking at a mod, hardware specs really don't come into play. It's how well you have tied the whole thing together into a cohesive vision, and you have executed on that vision, and dotted your I's and crossed your T's and done the detail work. That's what we grade. That's where we come in on. So I believe we've got a couple of mods that we're going to pull from the Modders Inc. forum, and Dwayne, can you bring up the Pandora mod? Yeah, the Assassin's Creed Pandora mod. This is a mod that's on our forums right now. I think is it Sanjay? Is that who did this?
I am not sure.
Yeah, Sanjay Cipher. Okay.
Is that wrapping paper on the outside? How did he do that pattern? Sorry.
No, if you look through the build log, it looks like they did do a wrap on it on the case side, but that top panel.
I think you got the
like it's all.
You got the Craig bug.
Yeah. But yeah, I heard what he said. In case anyone had trouble hearing it, it seems like he did a rap. Yeah, I was that looks like wrapping paper to me. I should check it out. I should probably be more active in the forums.
Yeah, it's probably a vinyl wrap.
Yeah.
It looks like there's either some laser cutting in order to get the light to come through it in those designs, or those are designs that are placed on top of it.
The designs look like they're on top of it.
Okay.
See, I think this is a good segue for the pros here, because, I mean, there's already a conversation started about what's going on, and I think that's definitely a pro when you got a mod going, when people look close and like, wait, how did that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I can say, too. I can, you know, from that perspective, I mean, he does have a video here on one of the posts that looks like, you know, maybe it's right around where he was doing some of the detail work, some of the, you know, like the vinyl wrap or something. But when guys are doing work logs, what I always try to do is give people as much information as possible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if it was a vinyl wrap or it was a paint job or, you know, whatever it was, as I go through the work log, I'm not just throwing pictures out there and, you know, here's your own interpretation. You know, if there's a video where I think something needs more description, I try to do a video of it. But, you know, give that information in the work logs, because not just us, but, you know, who knows who's always watching.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my first critique. So we're looking through here, right? It looks really good. You know, I mean, all the colors match. You've got the right stuff going on. I mean, he's taking some time, like I said, making sure the colors look good to each other. Nothing that's offsetting from each other. I mean, the gold, the white, the red, everything looks great. It looks good. I mean, the lighting looks great, even up close. Got some highlights here. Looking there. And then, oh, what's that shitty power supply sticker doing?
Yeah.
And he's got wires hanging out of the front. I mean, come on. Take the sticker off, go over it, do something. But everything else, you know, seems to be finished.
Right.
But I think what he's probably taking into consideration there is that if you go back up here,
His window
yeah. covers it.
Mm-hmm.
But don't take that in consideration, because if you look at the window here, right,
mm-hmm.
you see all these wires. So there is something that he missed.
If I was judging that, I would
definitely say, what's the deal with these wires just hanging there? I mean, it could have grouped them, could have, you know, tied them together if they had to be there. Mm-hmm. But when they don't look organized, this.
They could have put some sort of a cabling baffle there so that you didn't even see them.
Right.
There could have been. There's a number of different ways that you could wrangle that problem, so to speak.
Well, yeah, the overall look, I think it looks good. I mean, I like it.
The other thing is, like, he took the time to actually stitch the cables. So with me, it's if you're going to take the time to do management in one spot, just do it all over. Because this 24-pin is stitched, and I know stitching takes quite a bit of time. So
for him to invest the time into that,
but not into, I mean, I know it's a low spot in the rig, but still, you can see the wires from the side view. But the mod itself looks very good. It's just he needs to tie up some small ends that can make a fast improvement.
Right.
Yeah. And that's some of the stuff that we, you know, when we were walking around, we were judging and we were talking about, and it's the front panel connectors that seem to, you know, knock points off, you know, here and there, you know, a couple points here and there that, I mean, honestly was the difference between, you know, second and third and fourth place, you know, that kind of stuff. It wasn't, a lot of it wasn't, you know, major issues. It was little tiny detail work.
It's all in the details.
Also, my critique, I'm not as, you know, knowledgeable as you guys, but just from a designer standpoint, I think what people miss all the time is the font choice. I've seen that often, not in this case specifically, but in a lot of cases where they would put a text, and the font selection is kind of abysmal or just generic. I think that's the kind of that's just plenty of tutorials online where you can just Google what kind of font goes with what. I'm pretty anal about the kind of font people use. That's why I change the graphs all the time with the modern zinc graphs that I use. I take so much time to align that properly, because it's when you don't select your text properly, it doesn't go well. There's combinations that don't go well together at all, and it kind of takes it away completely. If that's his logo, it says Modway Sanjaya, I think he could have made that, incorporate that into the design as well.
Kind of stands out.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on a paint job versus a vinyl wrap, though? Because it's been kind of talked about with, is a vinyl job equivalent to a paint job the same way, like if I hand filed something versus I had a machine to do it?
Well, I think since the introduction of like Plastidip, we've seen a lot of different things happening with paint and exterior, and people have been doing wraps even on Lamborghinis and things like that. You know, that's something that I think if it's done right and it's executed, it can be just as quality as a paint job. And the vinyl on a computer case, if you think about longevity and things from that aspect, it's going to last just as long. You know, the case is going to be inside, so if it's done right, it can be just as quality, and it can bring a different element that, you can't, that could be done. What he did could be done with paint, with stencils or from, some of these great airbrushing guys out there. It definitely could. But I don't know that that would necessarily, in my opinion, take away from the mod, because it does take a level of skill to be able to apply that wrap, not have any bubbles, wrap around the corners, and get all the edges and things like that.
That's what I was going to say. As you start laying vinyl, especially with the design on it, to be able to have that lay properly without bubbles underneath it, taking into account seams and taking into account changes in level curvature. and curvature and stuff like that. There was a guy that I used to mod with in the Austin Modders group. His name is Sheldon Bright. Some of you guys may know him. He used to work at a sign shop. And one of my favorite mods that he did was an Unreal Tournament mod. And beyond just the custom case of the Unreal Tournament player that he built, he also took the Unreal Tournament logo and vinyl printed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he overlaid it on his keyboard, and he heated the vinyl so that he was able to cut it and stretch it to each of the individual keys on the keyboard. So it looked like he had painted the keyboard with that vinyl application. It looked that good. So I agree with you, Mark. There is an art level that comes to certain vinyl application techniques. That borderlines on the same type of skill as having an expert car painter or something like that.
Well, yeah, it's definitely with, I've worked with vinyl too, doing, graphics on cars, signs, and, to wraps and things like that, and you have to use the right wrap to be able to handle those contours. You just take regular vinyl and you got a complex curve, it's not going to sit down right. You're going to be fighting with it, you're going to be playing with a heat gun and pulling it up and, baby shampoo in the water and all this other stuff. So there's definitely a level of skill and knowledge to know what to use and how to use it.
Right. Right. Okay, so Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
The only other thing I saw with his mod that would probably get points off are the tubes are crooked. You can see they don't actually line up. One's kind of out, which I know that we were paying more attention to because hardline is more and more used now. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, the first year it came out, I think we had like two or three mods that used it. Mm-hmm. Now you're starting to get to the copper tubing, but pretty much all the rigs now are running rigid tubing. So we do pay attention. Are the lines straight? Do they flow? How is this all tied together?
Right. Right.
And one thing I wanted to say really quick, actually jumping back to Ron's point about fonts, is that if you do a little bit of Googling and you're doing a themed case, you can find any game themed font ever. It's make them for fun, I think. I actually was doing that on the side, and it seems like made by Sanjay, that font was an Assassin's Creed font off of dafont.com. So that's always a good place to start. If you don't have any other ideas on what you want to use, just Google it. I made a spec sheet for my case mod this year, and I used the Team Fortress 2 font. It takes like 5 minutes to install, so pretty
easy. By the way, that Sentry was beautiful.
Thank you.
I love that Sentry. Good stuff.
It's strewn across my bedroom right now. So
and sitting there panning, isn't it?
Sometimes you just need a little more gun.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to another case that we were thinking about looking at. I believe it was Trident of Neptune by Mirko Mods. I believe that's what it was.
I think that's a dog, actually, Craig.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're going to mod the dog.
National Dog Day, so.
Nope. All right, so we're seeing, we're looking at here, we're kind of looking at the build log, and again, this is the hardware that they're using. Nice, good quality products.
Yeah.
Yeah, those fans really pop. I like that color scheme.
Yeah.
Yeah, the choice of colors on this case is great. I like the way that it, you know, it's contrasting. It just kind of jumps out at you.
It's nice that it's outlining everything right off the bat. No questions, no Googling. You know exactly what it's using.
One of the things I want to point out here while Dwayne was pulling through this thing, those Corsair fans, there was a picture that he just scrolled past here a little while ago that shows all the fans pulled apart. These are the easiest fans to mod because literally there's not a retaining pin in them. You can take your fingers from the back. It's purely magnetic energy that holds them all together. Hmm. You get your fingers underneath the back of the frame and you start pushing at the bottom of the center circle where the fan blades attach in the main hub. And you just start to push up on both sides at the same time and just use gentle pressure. You don't have to push really hard, just gentle pressure and start to ratchet up the pressure on it. All of a sudden, bink, it just pops right out.
It would be interesting to see a list of fans that actually do that because there's some fans that require drilling, but some fans, right. I know Deepco also has a new set of fans that just need, you can just make that easily.
Joe's holding one of the fans that I sent for the Corsair mod. Watch what he does with this. Hold on. Joe, go ahead and speak so that you get focus.
I'm speaking.
We had the picture.
Okay, and then he just... There it goes. That's it. Now they're apart.
Really, it didn't require like any force at all. Now make sure whenever you paint them that you cover up the centers.
Right.
Yeah.
Again, just... Bradley pops back in.
And then it's ready to go. Okay, so back to reviewing the work log. I think it looks like he did a looks like some white and blue.
This is nice because you can look at the thumb screws and you carry even the theme over to the thumb screws and the grommets. I know those grommets aren't easy to paint.
No,
they're pain because they just
silicone. Yeah.
Oof. Yeah, I've painted them. If you're really careful when you're tightening the screws and you actually tighten and then let the silicone release and then tighten a little bit more and let the silicone release and tighten a little more and let it release, it'll actually sit without cracking the paint.
Oh, okay. So that's the H110i, the new Corsair internal cooler right there. Actually the same one that we just got finished working on with the Corsair contest that we'll talk about here in just a bit.
Yep. Let's see. Did he...
So here's my gripe.
Go for it.
The GPUs, 99% of the time, the edge of the GPUs face the window. So why is it that I see incomplete paint on the edge of the GPU? Like, you know, the inside of the C is not painted. Mm-hmm. The inside of the O isn't painted. You know, it's just... Honestly, I think it takes away from the central focal point when you walk up to the case, when you look inside. Mm-hmm. It takes away from all the beautiful work that you've done painting the cooler, you know, getting the SLI bridge, you know, all done up. And then you have these big, black, gaping, you know, spaces that... It looks incomplete.
Right. I think I know what happened here. All right, my dog's trying to pull my headphone off. Sorry. I think that when you pull the cooler off and the GeForce GTX logo lights up, the blue that you see painted probably comes out in the outer shape of the letter, and the interior of like the G and the C and the E, that doesn't come out as part of the removable heat sink bezel plastics, if you will.
Yeah, part of the letter.
Right. So that would actually, so, but to your point, Tom, you're right. You would think that you could mask off the letters and at least hit it with the same color paint that you're shooting around it, because I agree, it is distracting.
Or a tiny brush.
Yeah.
Or a tiny brush,
know,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, when you're talking about, you know, taking it to, you know, to the next level, and again, mm-hmm. you know, everything's in the details. It's some of that stuff that we saw, it looks incomplete.
Right, right. When you
Not
see everything,
it's easy to do, but
no. You have to find a way as modders. You have to find a way to get those types of details done. Mm-hmm. When you spend so much time in so many, and you put so much emphasis on so many other details, when you leave another small detail that's in the center of the mod undone, it is very distracting.
Now, what do you guys, how much bonus points do you guys give somebody who kind of dares to do something that's risky compared to something that's, say, a color swap or something like that?
Well, I think
in terms of design and kind of methodology.
Well, I think in my particular case, I mean, knowing what you can and can't disassemble and what you can and can't paint easily, knowing that, if I was to see somebody that had actually fully painted the card completely and the letters were detailed properly, I would be giving bonus points for that, because that's not something that's just going to be easily done. That's something you have to focus and come up with a solution on.
Right. Yeah, for me here too, this if you scroll back up one picture, whoever's in control of that, where the 5 1/4 bays are here, that struts down to the 3.5-inch drives,
mm-hmm.
that, like, extra holes inside the case or slots or whatever mm-hmm. it might be drives me absolutely nuts. Like, mm-hmm. I do as much as I can to cut away as much of that case and replace it with, you know, acrylic or something that can be a solid panel, because, again, here, that's, I can't even focus, like, my OCD goes nuts. And, you know, I see all that blue, and it's beautiful. The colors go great together. That white and that blue is so contrasting. And I see those holes, and it draws my attention.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like, where the NZXT is at the bottom, he would have made two other pieces and put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
One, like you're saying, right here where the holes are at. And because it's recessed, so it's angled. I think two plexiglass pieces or metal pieces painted that same blue would mm-hmm. have just pop that even to the next level.
It would bring that blue right up that side panel there. And
yeah.
here's something that, you know, I don't know this, you know, maybe we'll call it a pro tip. I'm sure a lot of guys know about this, but what I like to do with acrylic is I use a clear acrylic, and I use like a 320 grit sandpaper, and I sand the backside. So whatever he had sprayed that blue around that NZXT, you use that same blue, you spray the backside of the acrylic, you almost get like, you know, like a gloss finish on the acrylic. Yep. when yep. you're looking at it, and, you know, so you can match that perfectly, because you're probably not going to be able to go out and find a blue acrylic that matches that blue, mm-hmm. but you've already painted, we can see that. You take that piece of acrylic, just paint it from the backside, mm-hmm. and you have a perfect matching plate.
You do.
And
I think the wires leading from the pump block combo, because they're spaced out. Most of my bitches are going to be wires, because I'm a cable Nazi, but you can see that the two black wires, they're not, like, tucked in anywhere, they're just kind of laid there. I think if he would have gone and maybe put paracord over them, he would have gotten a better result. Even if they had been visible, it still would have at least been it would have unified with the style of the build.
I was just going to say real quick, from a, you know, kind of an artsy approach, he has those giant black cords going through the top down to the processor, And you guys were saying how, you know, it's distracting that they got the inside the O's and the C's that are black. He could have gotten away with just painting that entire blue panel black because there's already black inside the case. You know, like, there's no shame in putting a little extra black over the blue and have everything match because blue's already a part of your design. You got it on the cords. You got it on a couple fasteners I can see in there. Yeah. You know, that's just sort of a strategy that you have to take into account when you're forced to have certain colors inside of your case.
Good point.
Yep. Okay. Let's jump on to... this is one that actually competed at QuakeCon this year. It was the Cosmos SE tribute, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the ones that we looked at that we actually really, really, really enjoyed. This is one of the ones that kind of... The guy wasn't there, and the mod stood on its own. We didn't have to ask a lot of questions about it because we were able to see a lot of what it was that he did to get this case to show the way that it showed. It was a really, really, really nice case. And
the other thing is, I mean, I wrote it in the article, but because a lot of people were like, oh, I didn't get to tell you about the parts or this or that. We don't really care about parts because anybody can buy those parts. If they have right. the money, they could buy those parts. That's right. why parts aren't really a big deal for us.
Well, and you look at, I'm going to go back a couple years, but you look at Dwayne's Fallout case. You know, it had a budget system when we displayed it at QuakeCon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't a, you know, X99 or X58. I think that was around at the time. You know, it wasn't any of that. It was, you know, a computer with a case mod on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was more impressed by the work that went into making a seemingly perfect case look imperfect and look worn than I was with anything on the insides.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, now in this case here, you know, we're looking at it, whenever we were looking at it up close at QuakeCon, some of the things that we were looking at was the way the paint was applied. We were looking at the finish. We were looking at the customization of the panels. We were able to recognize the fact that there was a lot of custom work that was done in order to put certain parts together that we knew didn't normally go together.
It's like inverted. Because it's... Mark, you've worked with this case before, haven't you?
Not the Cosmos SE. The original Cosmos and the Cosmos 2, which they're not BTX like that. They're normal ATX-style chassis. I believe the Cosmos SE is a normal. So that would mean that he did have to invert it. I don't know if it, you know, has the option for that. That's Cosmos.
Now, looking at...
The front panel is the top panel.
Yeah, he did some work with that. He also did flip the motherboard tray because the power supply, let me see here. Yeah, the power supply is normally at the bottom in this chassis. Or is this the SE? What chassis is this, actually? Yeah, this is the SE.
It is an SE, yeah.
Yeah, so he flipped the motherboard tray around and has the power supply up at the top. And I know he did use, I was talking to him on stage, I think he used the screen, the grill from the top, and put it in the front of the case.
So this would be the...
Yeah, there you go. That's from the top, and it's actually molded into the front of the case.
So this is the SE. I can see where you got that plate.
Mm-hmm.
So... It's good, though, because it looks like it was factory made that way.
Exactly.
There's some mods you can tell are extremely retrofitted, but no, this one's really clean. And I think he's the only person I've ever seen to use one of Bill Owen's face skull grills.
Yeah, that's one of those things that it kind of matches the SSCs.
Yeah.
You know, other than that, it kind of looks out of place, but then you see the skull right there on the four SSDs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, when we were standing there looking at this case at QuakeCon, we could see that there was a lot of very subtle but very clean customizations that were done to this case. And as well as all of the customizations that were done, looking at the fit and the finish and the alignment of all of those parts, as well as the fit and the finish and the completion of the paint job, which was almost flawless. I mean, there were no bubbles, there was no orange peel, it was a beautiful deep metal flake. It was almost like that green that you used, Mark.
Yeah.
Except it was kind of a deeper royal blue, and whenever you put a lot of light on it, there was just a lot of depth to the paint.
Right.
It was really, really well done.
Yeah, I remember judging this case and some of the things that we marked off on. Hey, Dwayne, if you can show the front panel right there. You can see some of the mounting tabs.
Yeah.
They weren't flush with the plastic piece of the case.
Right.
I remember, you know, I was talking about that. But yeah, overall, this case was fantastic.
I think from the participant side of things, it's important to consider your environment. At QuakeCon, for example, it's going to be dark, but people are going to have flashlights. So don't think you can hide all of your past work sins in the darkness. Yeah, I see you guys nodding, so you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
That's just, you know, to piggyback off what you guys were saying.
Yeah,
that actually came up earlier last year because... Yeah, this is QuakeCon. People started adding a lot more LEDs and stuff.
Yeah, I think some people might think that too. Is, you know, I see that a lot of times with you know, mods that are only showcased online, where if I can pick out something small from a, you know, dithered, stripped down picture that was posted on Facebook, to see it in person, that really small thing is going to be a lot larger. You know, not to say I'm not guilty of things like that in the past too, rushing something to meet a deadline or just to get something done or getting frustrated. But, you know, it really does make the difference in, you know, are you just going to do this because, you know, you want to get halfway there and you get frustrated and so you move on to something else? Or are you going to... blood, sweat, and tears right through it to 100% complete that and know that, you know, like, out of the blue, you know, Intel, and it's going to be on stage at Intel IDF with a bunch of other really awesome mods, and are you going to be sitting there in the front row sweating, like, are they going to see that one mistake that I made?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or are you going to be proud to bring it in there, set it up, and the no matter who walks up to it and snaps a picture of it where it shows up, you know, you have nothing to worry about.
Right. Right.
And I've been thinking a couple things I want to say real quick. Two big things, and this is from the contestant side, is whatever you show needs to be good. A lot of my cases on the inside, they didn't look that great, but you couldn't see that, so, you know, it didn't matter. I know you guys on the first one were talking about the PS or the panel cords looking bad. Just don't show it. If you can, you know, just hide it away. It's okay, but they don't know can't hurt them. And also, you know, when you're competing or when you're modding and that sort of thing, also think about what you're doing and who's it for. You know, I think in the modding field in general, anyone who's watching this thinking, oh, you know, I can't get into modding, you can always do things that are for yourself also. Sometimes it's okay to just throw something together that you like and show to your friends, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, and to Michael's point, there were a number of mods that were there this year that were not competition-worthy mods, but they were case mods that people were proud of, and they wanted to show them off. Now, that doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to place. Maybe it was their first mod. Maybe they just did a couple small things to it, and they just wanted to show it off and see how we reacted to it. And maybe that's enough impetus for them to take it to the next level next year. You know, that's the kind of thing that we want to do. We want to provide people the feedback necessary for them to want to continue in this hobby. You know, don't take our criticism personally.
As a negative.
as a negative.
Right.
Don't take it personally. Take it as a constructive critique of what you did and better yourself. Period. That's all it is. It's not meant to be personal. And unfortunately, there's a lot of emotion that gets tied up in computer modding, in building something, you know, that you pour your blood, sweat, and tears into, that you spend 7 months or 8 months of your life pulling together, you know, and trying to get all the details worked out. You know, you have to have an emotional contact with it in order to want to continue to take it for that long and to redo something 7 times because it keeps not coming out the way that you want. I mean, there's right. an emotional connection. You're going to have that. And we recognize that. We're not robots. We're not uncaring and unthinking individuals. But at the same time, we're going to expect these things out of you. And if you're going to bring something to the modding contest, this is what you're up against. This is what we're going to do.
Also, I think from a purely strategic standpoint, there's ways to win from there, just from a from an outsider perspective. For me, I mean, what Michael said earlier, nobody entered the Bethesda. All somebody needs to do is enter that or try to tie your theme to that or try to design something that's nobody's seen before. Because if you're going to make something that's a lot of people have seen before, like a regular case with braided cables, everybody's seen that, and he's going to get critiqued more. But if you make something like a turret gun that's moving, nobody has seen that before. They're shocked and awe of it. You know, it'll take a while to fade out, and even right. before you know, they don't have enough time to judge it.
Yeah, but I think also something else though is that sometimes when people say, "Well, why did that one get this score? Why did that one get that?" Because, to tell you the truth, most of us have been on both sides, and we're mm-hmm. on the side we are because we've been doing it for not for 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years, or 5 years, but like 10 or 15 or 20 years. We are over the shock and awe value of anything. We can walk up to it and go, that's fucking cool, but then look into it and go, this is screwed up, this isn't right, look what he didn't do here. We can overlook that. Other people who are there to see the shock and awe of things are going, this is just freaking awesome, blah, blah, blah. Right. And it's like, yeah, you are right. But when you're in the competition, you are there for a reason, and it's to compete because you're showing your passion of what you like to do.
Well, that's
and that you're trying to learn something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're there to learn. I raced motorcycles for 11 years. You know, and I did it because I'd like to do it. I'd like the competition. But if I didn't win, I didn't sit there and cry like a little baby or get pissed off because somebody else beat me. It's just like, well, how did this guy beat me? What did he do that I didn't do? You know, did he train more than I do? Was he just better at this? You know, what makes the difference? That's where you have to go for a competition. If you can't handle it, then don't enter the competitions and just show your stuff off online.
Yeah, that's one thing that I would say is, you know, I started modding just because I love to do it. I never expected that, you know, somebody's going to send me something so I can have a better motherboard or, you know, like you guys were talking about parts earlier. No, I just did it because, you know, it was a hobby. It was something that I truly enjoyed doing. So, you know, when I look at these different things, I don't ever go into a contest just expecting, you know, oh, well, I did this and I did this and I did this, so I should win. But yeah, I know if I do my best, that I have the best chance that I could have at winning. But if I don't right. win, I'm going to enjoy just being there. You know,
yeah.
And that's what I did on stage. Because I was part of the live mod, I didn't get to go walk through the BYOC and see all these other mods. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there and I'm trying to look at these, you know, two other computers that are sitting up there next to me like, dude, these things are awesome. And I'm, you know, right. talking to these guys and shaking their hands and, you know, telling them great job and, you know, because it is. That's why I'm there. Mm-hmm. I'm there just for, you know, for that environment and to see what these yeah. other people are producing. Yeah. If you win, you win. You know, but right. that's not the reward.
Right. Initially, whenever I first got into modding, I was in it for the wrong reasons, and I was in it to compete, and I was in it to win because that was, I couldn't afford parts.
Yeah. So that was babes. I thought you joined.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was just one of those things to where I built and I competed and I entered in everything that I could possibly get myself into so that I could possibly have parts so that I could turn around and build my next mod.
Mm-hmm.
And now as I've kind of grown in the hobby, and I've seen how other people approach it. I've matured in that. I've lost way more than I've won. I mean, flat out. There's some incredible builders out there, but I've been very humbled to be surrounded by the talent of this team here, as well as, you know, a bunch of the guys down in Austin. They taught me a lot. And the people at QuakeCon, they've taught me a lot. So it's changed my perception, if you will, in regards to how I view modding as a hobby versus modding for competition. And I think, like a lot of what Mark said, if you do your best, then, you know, you can hold your head high, and it doesn't matter what angle they take the picture from, your mod's going to hold its own. Now, whether it's in the mind of the judges of that particular competition as a winning mod, you don't know. You're kind of up to the discretion of the judges at that point in time. But if you build for you and you do a quality job, then you can hold your head high. And that's where I'm at now. I'm right there with you, Mike.
Mark. The other thing was, you know, yeah, I did have some sponsored parts. And so I had in the back of my head, am I going to do my sponsors justice? So it's not, am I going to win, and that's how I'm going to do them justice. But am I going to create something that's worthy of them giving me their product to put inside?
Right, okay, and that sponsorship, that's a great segue into something else that we can talk about at another time. But for everybody who's been a part of this this podcast, this modcast, if you will, we are coming up just past 1 hour, and we want to be respectful of everybody's time, so we're going to go ahead and start trying to wrap this thing up. But we hope that this has been informative to you guys, and we hope that you guys have learned what it is from a judge's standpoint, how it is that we go about looking at machines. To Michael's point, hide it if you can, but also understand that we're going to have flashlights and we might still see it. And if we find out that you're hiding something, we might dock you harder. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're going to hide it good.
Well, the question is, next year, are we going to be taking panels off or just kind of playing the, hey, we want to see what's under the hood type game?
Right.
If you guys do that, you should give everyone some warning, because that's going to kind of suck if you're not expecting that, and then they're like, surprise, and then all the spiders come out. And
I'm just saying, the border control doesn't do that. They don't give warning. They're just, hey, pop the hood.
Yeah. Monitors Inc. treats all its participants as potential illegal immigrants. That's a good way to tie up the modcast.
We're taking the trumped approach on this.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I look at it this way. I mean, if they have drug sniffing dogs, we can have a glue sniffing Joe.
I sniff all the adhesives.
Yeah, there we go. Illegal use of adhesive, doc, minus 20 points. Automatic fourth place.
Did you lick this?
Yeah.
We need to taste your case mod, sir. I'm sorry.
Exactly, yes. Mm.
I should have just do like a Katamari Damacy mod where it just like super glued everything I could possibly roll into a ball.
All right, well, does anybody have anything else they wanted to add in? Any plugs you wanted to add into the modcast, or any personal shout-outs or anything like that?
So, if you're in a contest, not just our contest, but any contest, and you're trying to figure out why you didn't place or what was wrong, ask politely. We will tell you, but if you come up to us being a dick, like, hey, why didn't I place, bro? What's up, bro? We're probably just going to ignore you, because you're in it for the wrong reasons at that point.
If you're right.
It's like Craig said, and even I'm guilty of it too. When you enter just because you're like, I have to win, you're in this for the wrong reasons, and you probably should find something else to do. I mean, not to sound like a dick. Okay, I do mean to sound like a dick. But honestly, if it's no longer a hobby to you and it's just like it's work and you have to do it. I mean, even like guys like Jim Weiss, Bill Owen, those guys, they have fun with it. I mean, yeah, they're making money off of it, but they're having fun. At least
right.
I hope they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll add one quick snippet to that, and that was something that Bob Stewart said to me from BS Bonds at QuakeCon. And, you know, there was somebody that actually had their computer that was in the BYOC, and something had overheated, and one of the tubes was, you know, bad, and he went over to the NVIDIA garage booth and, you know, was wanting to see if they could help him bend a tube and cut it because they had the tools. And, you know, he said, thank you so much for this. And Bob just, you know, looked at the guy and said, hey, you know, we're all in this together. You know, so it's not, I have this, and no, I'm not going to let you use it. You know, you're stuck. Too bad. You know, we're all here to help each other out. That's what it's all about.
Right.
So, you know, if somebody's here just trying to cut somebody else off at the knees, it's going to go around just as fast as anything else. And, you know, help everybody out.
Right.
You know, it's that easy.
Karma is a major driving force in the modding community. If you're a dick about it, people are going to be a dick back to you, and when you need help, it's not going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my one sentence snippet is that you know, make sure to separate your work from yourself. Just because someone doesn't like your mod doesn't mean they think you're a piece of crap. You know.
Yes.
Some people never learn that, but that's an extremely important thing to understand about life.
Oh,
is that,
yeah.
You know, an impartial judge is looking at your thing and they say this is bad, or you know, they're saying it's not as good, they're not saying you as a human are inferior to this other human. Yeah.
Very
you
good.
You suck.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize you were a vacuum.
Good points. Good points, Mark. Michael, thank you very much for joining us here at Modders Inc. We really look forward to working with you guys, and welcome to the first podcast. I don't know. We might change the name of it now.
Modcast is good.
Yeah,
Modcast is nice. We'll stick with that. The Modders Inc. Modcast.
Registered really quick.
Oh, hurry!
Trademark.
Wait, before everybody goes.
Yeah.
Everybody say hi to Wynn, because he didn't say anything. Hi, oh. Wynn.
Hi, Wynn. Hi, Wynn.
We're fulfilling our minority quota again. That's why they hired me, Wynn. Now they have Wynn, because we increased. We had two more white guys, so they needed one more Asian guy.
two white guys and two pasty Mexicans.
This is a culturally sensitive side of Modders Inc. right now.
Well, then Mark is the pasty Italian too, so it helps out.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. Good deal.
He's the Italian.
Looks like somebody's already got the mod cast. Well, all right.
So it's right, they're overseas. We get the U.S. one.
Nice deal. All right. Well, for Modcast number 35, for Joe.
What you say?
Yep. Mark.
See you later, guys.
Michael.
Goodbye.
Oh, bye.
Oh.
That's all
Dwayne.
There was a lag, and then I popped back in, and Craig just goes, and Joe?
And Dwayne?
See you guys.
Okay, and then you
don't
got Ron.
Don't take it personal.
Yeah, don't take it personal.
Don't you be suck. So butthurt, you.
Tom?
Good night, Joe.
Wynn?
Good night.
All right, and Craig Tate signing off. Modders Inc. Podcast 35. You guys take care. We hope to hear you. Hey, come out to our forums, post your work logs, ask questions. That's what we're here for. We're here to help. So everybody take care. This is ModdersInc.com signing off for the night.